Welcome to Windy City Sports Talk, Chicagoland's number one podcast for all the latest news and in-depth analysis for the Bears, Bulls, Blackhawks, Cubs, and White Sox. This podcast features exclusive news and expert analysis from well-known Chicago sports reporters and broadcasters. You will also feel the passion and emotions during conversations with other diehard sports fans. Other unique sports topics such as virtual reality and video games are explored as well. It's now time to talk Windy City Sports.
I finally have created a positive episode. Can you believe it? It's been a while. Last episode, I had Brooke Liferno on, and we discussed what originally we thought was maybe the end of an era for the Blackhawks after they traded Duncan Keith to the Edmonton Oilers. And literally a few days later, GM Stan Bowman was like, no, I'm going to change the course of the franchise again. I'm going to make a bunch of trades, and we're just going to refuse to go into a rebuild. You know, we thought that's what the Hawks were going to do, was dive deeper into that rebuild. And instead, Bowman traded for Hall of Fame goaltender and all-star defenseman, and also a two-time Stanley Cup winning champion, recent Stanley Cup winning champion, among other moves as well. So, of course, I had to bug Brooke again. She's a real MVP for coming on multiple times. Finally get her on to talk about something that's positive news. It's always been kind of, are we going to make the playoffs? Oh, we traded Duncan Keith. We're mad about Jeremy Colleton. Finally, we're able to talk about some, good news, hopefully some good news. We'll dive into whether or not these are the right moves and whether or not the Hawks should have, just kept going into that rebuild. So we're going to go through all that today. Some of the big moves that were made, obviously. Where does this team sit now? Can they compete in the playoffs now that the division alignment's going back to normal, including now the Arizona Coyotes, I believe, joined the Central Division. So can they really, hang in there with the big teams right now? So all that will be discussed. So Brooke, thank you so much for coming on again, especially a little bit on short notice, but I hope you're doing well and excited to talk about some good Blackhawks news.
Yes, thanks for having me. I am excited because our last episode, for any of the viewers that were listening, you would have thought we were going to a funeral, but I think Stan Bowman heard us and that's what happened. So I'm happy all around.
Yes, exactly. And before we get started, like I always like to do, take a moment to promote yourself, your work, and where people could find everything you're doing.
Yes, so you can find all of me and my team's Blackhawk articles at thehockeywriter.com. We also do a show every week called Blackhawks Banter, which is on the Hockey Writer's YouTube channel. And you could also stream our show on all of your favorite podcast platforms. So that's kind of our thing.
Yes, always worth checking out the podcasts and your work. So highly recommend everybody checks out all the great stuff that they're doing over there. So Brooke, I guess let's get started with the one that I think, the one move that, confused me the most. Every move that was made, I think there's been some kind of emotions that were brought out. Seth Jones was kind of, there was some interesting debates on that as well. We'll get into, but first, woke up one day to the news that the Hawks traded for Marc-Andre Fleury, a more than likely future Hall of Fame goaltender from the Golden Knights, which we all knew the writing on the wall that they were probably going to move on from him eventually because of other trying to figure out salary cap. And also when they acquired Robin Leonard from us, it kind of looked like they were trying to set him up to be their future starter, going forward eventually. I'm curious, what were your initial reactions when this trade was announced? And do you even think it makes sense to bring in a guy that's near the end of his career and you would figure would go join a team that's probably more Stanley Cup ready than us?
Well, actually, it was more, I have to give a shout out to Elliot Friedman because he was on that one again when he said he thought that that was true, that the Hawks were linked to Fleury in some way. So all hail him because he's amazing at what he does. But actually, I am a bit confused because I don't think he's the best fit for this team because we're not going to we're still like building and it's probably not the best fit for him. He probably would be best on a team like Colorado. And when they lost Philip Grubauer, that seemed like that could have been a good fit maybe, but yeah, it doesn't make sense to me really, but you can't be disappointed because we definitely upgraded at goalie and obviously he's a Hall of Fame goaltender. He's one of my favorite goaltenders too. I love him in the league. So I think he'll be great here, hopefully, but yeah, hard to be disappointed, but it still kind of doesn't make sense for him, I don't think, on his part or our part for that matter. But like I said, I'm okay with it right now because we upgraded and I think he'll be great. I think he still has great hockey and we just won the Vezina. So, I think he's all set.
Yeah. I mean, believe it or not, even at his age, he's still playing pretty well, you know, and I know Vegas has a really good team and a solid defense in front of him. And it might be a little bit more challenging with the Blackhawks this year, but still playing at a high level again. We heard about these rumors. Like you said, there was a link between the Blackhawks and Fleury, honestly, like a month ago, even a few weeks before the offseason started. But I was like, nah, you know, I think this is just, you know, the Hawks might be doing their due diligence to, you know, inquire to see what, you know, what it would take to get him or what the interest is. But, you know, then they traded for him, and then it was, oh, now he doesn't know if he wants to play. And not that it was a big deal, because his $7 million cap hit would have went away. What I do like about it, and I guess I'm going in kind of early here, I was going to save some of these thoughts for later on, but it kind of makes sense to talk about it now. I like bringing in some talent and a guy like Fleury that, of course, he's probably going to get most of the starts, but it's going to allow, you know, Kevin Lankinen to learn from one of the best goalies to ever play the game. And a guy like him, which it appears at the moment that he's probably got the best shot of being the future goaltender or one of them, you know, maybe he's, you know, the backup of the future. I don't know yet, but for him to be able to, coming off of his like rookie performance, which wasn't too bad, he started off hot, petered out. It's kind of intriguing to see, okay, you know, maybe he could back up, you know, Fleury, learn some things, you know, there's more things than just watching somebody on the ice. You know, when you're interacting and in the, you know, at training, watching tape, you know, everything that they do outside of game day, there's a lot of important things there too. So do you think it's worth bringing him in for that? Or do you even think that's part of the reason why they brought him in? Not just to have a solid goaltender, but maybe to teach the young guys, even Subban. I mean, I don't know where Subban fits in their plans, but they have a lot of young goalies that, you know, could use a little bit of that Hall of Fame tutelage.
Well, so I guess we could play like devil's advocate also, I guess, and say that in a way the Blackhawks should never have had to make a move like this. We had Crawford and Leonard, and then all of a sudden we had nothing. So it seems like a big mistake that if we had either or, we wouldn't have had to make this move. But I guess it worked out okay because we didn't have to give up anything to get Fleury. But I do think that, his leadership and stuff is part of the reason. Obviously, it's our goaltending is very inexperienced now. And I think that's what Stan Bowman said he was trying to get on the market anyways, was someone that could like come in and be a good presence for them, good leader, kind of help them grow. Because I don't know if Fleury is going to sign or extend after this year. This could be his last year. We don't know all those details. But if it is, then yes, of course, you would want someone like him here to kind of get them settled, show them the ropes. And so, yeah, like I said, we got him for nothing. And for all around right now, it seems like a good move, besides the fact that we shouldn't have had to make that move in the first place. But I guess Stan said, I made a mistake, I'm going to try to fix it.
Well, and one thing is too, I think the biggest complaint people have that are negative about this move is just, you know, the $7 million cap hit. You know, the Hawks have made a few moves, and we'll even get into more of them here shortly, that it's like they really made a few moves that, you know, took up a lot of that finally freed up cap space. And $7 million for quite possibly 1 year Fleury upsets people. And I can understand that because, you know, I think they could have maybe used another forward, you know, they could have maybe invested in a solid offensive player just to help with the scoring, since there hasn't been a whole lot of goal scoring outside of like two guys. But I do understand that. And that's not the only move that happened that people are upset about in terms of the financial logistics. And that's the trade of, you know, Seth Jones, you know, getting him from the Blue Jackets, you know, giving up a bunch of draft picks, and then Anna Boquist. Sad to see Boquist go, just because you hate to see these guys that you draft and invest time in, and, you know, you don't see them get to fully, you know, blossom. However, you know, you got to give up something legit in return to get an all-star in Seth Jones, who I believe he's made the all-star game like the past four seasons, at least the four seasons where we had it. You know, we didn't have one this past season, but, you know, he's in his prime. He's really good. I love the move, and they locked him up for, I believe it was 8 years, a lot of money, in which people aren't a fan of that, but, you know, that's what happens when you lock these guys up to long-term deals that are 7, 8, 9 years. You know, it's usually going to cost a lot of money. I personally like the move. Think it makes sense to invest in a guy that you could build around. He's now the defensive pillar, you know, him, Connor Murphy, you know, you kind of have to start somewhere. And I think it was a solid move. And personally, I don't think they gave up that much in return. Boquist is kind of a question mark on how high his ceiling is. The draft picks kind of hurt again for a team that's supposedly in a rebuild. Mm-hmm. But I'm curious about your thoughts on the acquisition of Jones. And do you think the contract is worth the hate that people are giving it?
Yeah, I like Seth Jones. I think we talked about this last time. I have nothing against him. I think he's a fine defenseman. And At this point, I was kind of like, I will take any defenseman that is reliable and valuable at any rate. At this point, I don't care who it is, but it just ended up being Seth Jones, which we all kind of figured because it seemed like all the roads kept leading back to him. But I was a little nervous with that cap hit, though. It seems like right now what we're paying him is what we're expecting from him. So that's kind of up to him to see if he's up for it. If he is, which he probably is, obviously, he's no joke, but if he is up to it, like they think, and like we hope he is, then that will be a steal in my book. Defensemen like him are hard to find, and that will be a huge relief. But if he ends up not living up to that potential, then it seems like then they're back at square one with cap issues. But like I said, it's a gamble. As a general manager, I understand you're going to make gambles, whatever you do, whether it's trades or signings. But yeah, that cap hit does worry me a little bit. But you know what? We can't get into that until we actually see him play and see how he fits in the system. But yeah, otherwise, I do like Seth Jones. I have nothing against him. I think he's great. We'll just see what happens.
Yeah, you know, it's to be fair, one of the things I like about him is he is a solid offensive defenseman. You know, we see that's kind of a newer popular trend. Like, you know, you want to, you know, everybody would love to have an Erik Karlsson or Brent Burns. You know, this is a guy that, you know, when I look at his stat line, I mean, he's, to be fair, he's almost scored. I believe I made a comparison in my head a while back when I was looking at stats. I mean, he's almost as good offensively as some of the seasons Duncan Keith has had mm-hmm. in the past. So if you could be a solid lockdown defenseman and also provide a little bit of scoring, I'm okay with that. I mean, a couple of years ago, and I believe the first year he finally became an all-star, mm-hmm. he had like 57 points, you know, 16 goals, 41 assists. Not that I need him to get me 50 or 60 points to make the contract worth it, because I am curious to see if he can be a little bit better defensively, because he's, you know, a minus 25 in his career. And to be fair, okay, didn't play on a great Columbus Blue Jackets team. And I mean, even his first year as a rookie in Nashville, he was a minus 23. So is that because of him? Is that because of, you know, his pairing? You know, I don't know. But I will say that's a little bit concerning. The offense is great, but you hope he could be a defender, because that's what they're sorely going to miss, is the lockdown defense from guys like Keith and Seabrook that we relied on for, you know, many years. So we'll see about that. But another defensive move that was made was signing defenseman Jake McCabe, formerly of the Buffalo Sabres. He's probably like, thank God I'm out of Buffalo. yeah. Also, I believe his wife's from Downers Grove. So mm-hmm. he, you know, he's got some connections here, which is great. Curious on your thoughts of picking up him and really now the defense as a whole, because it appears the makeover, at least for this upcoming season, is over with.
So to be honest, I don't know much about Jake McCabe, but that's probably because I don't really follow the Sabres. But everything I've ever heard from anyone, even my colleagues at the Hockey Writer, say he is solid, very solid defensively. And I guess at this point, I'm fine with getting another defensive defenseman, someone that can just lock this down, because obviously our defense had way too many holes last season. And I'm happy with it, although that term seemed kind of scary to me too. Again, that 4 years, $60 million, especially because I know he's had injury issues in his career. But again, that's a gamble that you have to pay for these kind of things. So actually, though, I'm okay with it. Like I said, everything I've ever heard about him has been wonderful, and I hope that translates well on this team too.
Yeah, his biggest concern, I think, is coming back from an injury. So yeah. Everybody's wondering if his health is going to be okay. Supposedly he's fine. He's been working out and whatnot. Again, rehab has went well. I think it is kind of an intriguing top four in terms of defense now, where I like to look at dailyfaceoff.com. Not that they're probably totally accurate, but it's nice. They try to put up, you know, what possibly the lines look like. And you're looking at potentially maybe first pairing is Seth Jones and DeHaan, second pairing, you know, possibly Connor Murphy and Jake McCabe. That is a lot better than what we've had in the past. Now, McCabe's not, I mean, if you look up his stats, not an offensive defenseman at all, but that's fine. Mm-hmm. Again, I think at this point, okay, Kane could score 80 goals. That's right. We can't allow 80 goals. You know, that's right. Been an issue for a while. So yes, credit to Bowman, credit to the team. I think defensively, they're going to be a little bit better. We'll see what that third pairing is. You know, if Seth Jones's brother, Caleb makes, mm-hmm. you know, makes the starting roster. I don't know who that sixth and final guy is going to be. We'll see. Maybe that's a young guy like Ian Mitchell again, or, you know, see how the camp battles go, but defensively, a lot better. But hey, Bowman wasn't done making trades. He made another one, right? Shocking. He mm-hmm. sent the rights of Brent Seabrook to the two-time defending Stanley Cup champs, the Tampa Bay Lightning, for Tyler Johnson. This is another intriguing one because Johnson, mm-hmm. when we faced off against him in 2015, he had his best season of his career. And I remember that was every time we were more afraid of him than even Steven Stamkos and some of those guys at the time, because mm-hmm. he was that good that year. But I personally think Tyler Johnson's a solid acquisition to at least give him a chance, see if maybe he can, you know, regain his form. Because to be fair, I think he's better than like half the other guys that we've had on the team recently. So your thoughts on getting him, and do you think he can maybe kind of regain that offensive touch, even though he's, you know, 31 now?
I loved actually that trade. And I don't say this lightly because I don't usually like a lot of moves that Stan Bowman does, but obviously this season or this offseason has been different. But yeah, I love the Tyler Johnson move. I loved it the first time I heard it. He's one where I think a lot of teams would benefit greatly from. So I really didn't think the Hawks would be the one team to get him, especially because all we had to give up was Seabrook's contract for him. Like, really? It's weird because he's like a third or fourth line player, but on Tampa, that's a little different because obviously they're stacked from head to toe. On the Blackhawks, though, that could be different. I could even see him going second line sometimes, or just kind of fitting him wherever. He could also win faceoffs. I think his faceoff percentage last year was like 52%, I think, which would make him second on the team behind Kampf, who's not here anymore, obviously. But it just fits a need everywhere. He can score. He can win faceoffs, which were two issues that they had last year. I know he's older and he has a steep cap hit for the next 3 years. And I know that he's older and his production has been down, but who knows? Maybe he needs a change of scenery and that will kind of rejuvenate him. But I like it all around. Like you said, even just getting him for the bottom six, if that's where he will end up, just makes it a billion times better because most of our third and fourth line players are not don't produce very much. So that in itself is a huge win. So I love it right now, and I can't wait to see how he fits in here.
More episodes of Windy City Sports Talk can be found on Anchor.fm, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Breaker, Overcast, Pocket Casts, and Radio Public. Be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast as well. We now return to Windy City Sports Talk.
We've known for a while that the Hawks needed center depth. You know, Taze coming back, Doc coming back, hopefully fully healthy this year. Those are great boosts. I think Tyler Johnson can be better than David Kampf. I think, and not to say that they can't slot him. I mean, look, Dylan Strome has played both center and wing at times. So, you know, maybe you can even put him on the side depending on who else is going to be the center, you know, play center. So depending on how his offensive production goes, maybe he can make the power play unit. But again, since there's question marks on just how good Doc's going to be, just how good is, you know, can Jonathan Toews refine his form? You know, I'm still a little bit worried about him. I just really hope he could come back and still be a solid player. So having Johnson, again, it seems like it's more risky than it really is. I truly believe because he's under contract for a few more years. It's a steep cap hit. But again, it's not like the Hawks have had a whole lot of options. And as we know, the one thing that they still can't seem to get right, I think it's indicative of what just happened in the Seth Jones trade, is you got rid of another guy, Adam Boqvist. I that's the one thing that's upset me about Bowman and this front office. It seems like every guy they draft recently outside of DeBrincat, they get traded eventually because they don't pan out. Now, to be fair, Boqvist was another guy that had an injury at one point. You know, he's only been up for a few seasons, so I guess, you know, there's still room for him to develop and grow. But I'm like, okay, again, it's another player. So Tyler Johnson being here for, you know, a couple of years, I guess, maybe gives the opportunity for this next crop of draft picks to grow and develop. And then hopefully, you know, if he doesn't pan out when that contract ends, they bring up somebody else. But Brooke, I feel, believe it or not, I'm actually feeling more confident in the defense rather than the offense now. I'm curious how you feel about this now that we know what this upcoming season's team is going to look like.
I think have more faith in the defense than the offense right now. I think our offense is still a little sketchy. I know they got Tyler Johnson and Juju Jarkera, but I don't see them. Obviously, they're not going to score goals on the path of Kane or DeBrincat. And this is still the same kind of core group that struggled scoring last year. And that wasn't really addressed. And so I don't know, but the defense, it couldn't have gotten worse, to be fair. That's very hard to have made it worse than it was. So I actually have a lot more faith in the defense right now, only because we actually have more reliable names. They're not names that have never been in the league before, don't know what they're doing yet kind of thing. So that'll be interesting because we've been kind of so deflated about the defense. So for them to actually come out and maybe be successful next year will be a nice change of pace.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think, again, the biggest thing is just who's going to score the goals outside of that line of DeBrincat and Kane. You know, that's why, I'm upset that I'm actually, though, if there's anything to be upset about this offseason, I'm kind of disappointed they didn't find a way to re-sign Hinostroza. I'm upset that Suter was let go and he eventually, signed with the Detroit Red Wings. And it's just, you know, you give up some speed and you give up, you know, not that Suter was a madman offensively last year, but I mean, he did a lot more than a lot of other guys on the team. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm cool with Seth Jones. I'm cool with Tyler John. I'm cool with all these moves that were made, even though they're really big cap hits. If I had to be critical about one thing, is all that money went to guys that either are not going to be around long or big question marks, minus Seth Jones. Mm-hmm. But you know, that some of that money could have maybe went for another solid, you know, guy on the wing. You know, I don't know what the other conversations were, maybe that, you know, guys that they talked to, but I really thought Suter and Hinostroza would have been great to kind of cap off the remodeling of this team. So I'm curious how you feel. Like, did you want to see them bring Suter and Hinostroza back?
Yes, I did. And like I said, this is the same group that had issues. They were 21st in the league last year in scoring goals. And that seems like it's hard to do with it, with a team with Kane, DeBrincat, Kubalik and stuff, but it wasn't addressed really. And Suter last year, I understand we didn't give up Artemi Panarin. I understand that, but it doesn't sit right with me. He scored 14 goals last year, which was only one behind Kane. I mean, this guy, obviously, even for a rookie, that's a lot of untapped potential there. And something that really irked me about this too was who picked him up? Steve Yzerman, the guy on the Detroit Red Wings, the general manager that knows how to evaluate talent, who can make something out of nothing. I'm like, okay, obviously he sees something in Suter that the Blackhawks didn't. And I'm like, that's what concerns me a little bit. But I think most Blackhawks fans thought very highly of him. And that was one move I did not expect them to do. And that would have just been a great depth piece and another scoring aspect. Again, it's like, okay, what are we doing here? And Vinny, I am upset about that too. I think he was a good fit. I liked actually the line of Kubalik, Hinostroza, and Hagel. I thought that was a really fun line, and that actually was able to produce a lot. And Vinny, I thought, had a really good – I thought he earned another shot here. I mean, 1 year, $1 million is what he got in Buffalo. I think that could have easily been afforded. And like I said, there's a lot that needs help on the bottom two lines, and I think he fits it. But, yeah, those are two I'm really not okay with, and Yeah, I hope this doesn't come back to bite them, especially with Suter, because that just seems like yet another missed talent. We have the talent. We keep giving them away, though.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, you know, even Hinostroza, bottom six forward. However, that speed, you know, we've complained about the Blackhawks not having a lot of speed with, you know, some of the older guys the last couple of years. But also it's like, what? And again, not that they gave up a lot in assets when they acquired him at the deadline last year, but or last season, but again, like why then if you're renting him even for, I mean, that's where Bowman, I think he pushes it sometimes where he thinks this team's better than what it is because, you know, I think that was more of an aggressive move to try to make the playoffs is a last ditch effort. It's like, but why acquire him for just, you know, a dozen games or so, you know, that's kind of a head scratcher to me. Not that they gave up a lot of assets, but yeah, disappointing to see him. I'll pray for him too, because going to Buffalo right now, that's not even going to be fun.
I know. I'm like, really, of all teams, I did not think Buffalo would be the one to get them.
I think we did them dirty on that. We said, nah, go to Buffalo. That's going to be rough for him. But, you know, he's going to have an opportunity for ice time and play. So I guess there is kind of a benefit to that. And if he goes there for a year, then, you know, ups his value maybe for the next offseason. But
right.
So, you know, like I said at the beginning, Brooke, it's kind of exciting to see the Hawks build a team like this. You know, they're going to be worth watching. If anything, they will be interesting to watch this year. Mm-hmm. But I question if these are honestly the right moves, if this was honestly overall the best decision to really try to piece together pieces to a puzzle that just may fit, they may not fit. Do you think this offseason has benefited the Hawks, or do you think delaying the inevitable is wrong, which again is probably a full-blown rebuild eventually?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like you said, it's better than it was. So give credit to where credit is due, because obviously all those moves are upgrades in of itself. But yeah, I don't know. It is a little bit concerning, because are they better? Yes. But did they do enough for the whole picture, the whole depth of the team itself? I don't know. And it seemed like he was making moves that almost you would think, okay, they're winning the Stanley Cup. Like, those are moves that you would make if you're right there to win the Stanley Cup. And I still don't think they're there yet. I still don't think there's been enough addressed on the whole picture. Obviously, it's very hard to win in this league. And obviously, Colorado couldn't win last year. The Vegas Golden Knights couldn't win last year with how stacked they are. So, yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting. I don't know how this exactly will benefit them, because I don't see them being contenders still, even with all these moves. But like I said, it is an upgrade in of itself. That's what makes it kind of confusing. It's just like you don't exactly know where this is headed. And that's what's kind of frustrating, too, with Bowman. It's like, pick a lane. Are we rebuilding or are we competing? No one knows what we're doing. We're just doing things.
Yeah. And you know what? I mean, honestly, if anything, I think he's just trying to keep guys like Taze and Kane happy. Because if you think about it, eventually, if they keep missing the playoffs, you know, I totally didn't realize, I don't know if you remember when I discovered live during last podcast, I'm like, oh my God, Kane's only 32. For some reason, I thought he was like 34 or 35. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's still in his prime. It's hard to believe that he's only 32 after everything he's done and accomplished. I mean, he's still got, at least maybe 4 or 5 years. We know hockey players could play up until their late 30s, heck, even early 40s if they stay healthy. Guys like Kane and Taze could fetch a fair price at a trade deadline. And then also that gives them the opportunity to go contend and fit in on some other teams that are legit Stanley Cup contenders. Kind of makes you wonder if Bowman's doing this to keep these guys happy to want to stay. And I think at the end of the day, that's what he's trying to do. Bowman's trying to do one last ditch effort at a cup run, even though, you know, the team may look better on paper now than what they've did in the past, but I just don't know how, where's the ceiling for this team, you know? So the only thing I like is, again, Fleury can maybe pass on some stuff to the younger goaltenders. Tyler Johnson, again, maybe he doesn't put up a lot of stats, offensive production, but is that another guy that, you know, just won 2 Stanley Cups, whether he played a big role or not? Also, and appeared in 3, technically, if you think about when they played us a couple of years back, too. Can Doc learn? Can these younger guys learn from some of these veterans, these guys that they've brought in that have been around? That's one thing I like, because I don't want to be Buffalo where you draft all these players and then you trade them away. Like, that's how you build a losing culture, when you allow tanking and you allow just nonstop trading away assets and things like that. I'm more of the guy that's like, yeah, let's keep it kind of relevant. See what we could do. You could still rebuild and get good draft picks and whatnot, even if you're not at the bottom of the barrel all the time. So I'm personally, that's why I think I'm giving Bowman a pass on this, is because, yeah, if you trade away everybody, you know, look, you could be Buffalo, you could be Edmonton and draft a lot of great players, but it still doesn't mean you're going to win. I mean, just look at those two franchises. Obviously, at least Edmonton at least could make the playoffs, but still the expectations are so high and they're not reaching them ever. They haven't reached them yet. So you kind of already answered this, I think, but I did want to ask you, any chance of this new look team making the playoffs? Now, remind you, we're back to St. Louis, Colorado, Dallas, Nashville, Winnipeg, Minnesota, and even now Arizona in the Central Division. That's tough. Any chance they can contend in that division to make the playoffs?
Well, God bless the alignment, because they don't have to face Tampa Bay or the Panthers 20 times next year. So that should help. But it's going to be tough. But the only team that really scares me is Colorado. Dallas was kind of iffy last year. St. Louis was kind of iffy. Minnesota, I know they were on a great run, but I don't know how they'll do next year. There's a lot of question marks in that division, too. I mean, Nashville, we always struggle against, so it doesn't seem like it matters who's on that team. But they should be a playoff team. On paper, this is a playoff team. But that's what's hard about this league. Something can look great on paper, but it doesn't matter unless they execute. So, yes, on paper, they should make the playoffs. If they don't, that, I think, will be a complete waste.
Yeah, it's tough because, you know, even though this division's weaker nowadays rather than what it was a few years ago, yeah, you have, I mean, really the only team trending upwards continues to be Colorado. St. Louis, you know, they've lost quite a few guys that have been on that team long term, and, you know, even them almost trading Tarasenko kind of shocked me. But yeah, I mean, Dallas, St. Louis, Nashville, they're kind of trending down. Winnipeg is kind of always like good enough, I guess. Minnesota kind of on the up, but that Russian kid they picked up, he may be going to the KHL now, so there's drama there. So I mean, ultimately, I think the fate of the Blackhawks is in their own hands. Now, obviously, beating and winning as many games as you can against your division opponents will be super important, because that's a big chunk of games. So it sounds like common sense, but, like, honestly, if they can find a way to capitalize and take some games from these guys, even if you can find a way to snag a game or two from Colorado, that would be great. And even adding Arizona to the mix, you know, one minute they're good, the next minute they're not. They kind of flip flop a lot. But again, the Hawks haven't been good enough lately to even kind of contend with some of those teams. So it kind of makes you wonder. But, you know, we'll see what happens. But one final thing I wanted to ask you, Brooke, before we wrap up here. And again, this is, I know, I always enjoy doing, like, you know, what if what if scenarios and talking about stuff. But you know, I'm still on this subject of, you know, rebuild or no rebuild. If the Hawks fail to make the playoffs, or even if the season goes completely off the rails and they suck, something happens where we're like, oh my God, how did this not work out at least halfway? Do you think if this season's a flop, should the Blackhawks finally, like, completely hit that reset button? Like, if this can't work, is it even worth trying anymore?
Yes, I actually am on that train. Like you said, a lot of it has not worked the past 5 years. And honestly, now on paper, you have a roster that could probably do something. Maybe not win a Stanley Cup, but could actually be productive, or, like you said, watchable. So even if you, and to be honest, it seems like it's very easy to make the playoffs in this league. I mean, there's 16 teams in total. So that's basically like half the league. And you know, and that seems like such a waste with such talent that we have, like with Kane and DeBrincat. But yeah, they should. I'm on that train, because it seems like they're doing half and half. And when you hit that bottom of just continuing to miss the playoffs, something has to give. You can't keep trying to do the same thing and then keep failing at it. And it's hard to do that, obviously, as a fan. But yeah, that it's something that would have to be done, because you can't take this much losing back to back to back to back all the time.
Yeah, and I'll end with this. I think eventually, you know, Bowman and everybody else in that front office will have to, if they're even still there, because that you know, that scandal is a big deal too. I mean, there's a lot of question marks on the horizon for this team. Whoever is in charge going forward, because who knows? I think that's an honest conversation. That's a sit down conversation will have to happen eventually with Kane and Taze, just like with Duncan Keith. You know, Duncan Keith wanted to move on for great reasons. No problem at all. No issues there. And I think it's fair for him to be able, not only for the family reasons, but also he's got a few years left in the tank. Let him go compete somewhere and contend in a more legit way than here. So it would be the unthinkable to imagine Kane and Taze not, you know, finishing their careers in Chicago. But if they're going to leave when their contracts run out here in the next few years, or if they are going to eventually demand a trade, I think you need to know that. You want to trade them, get the assets before they leave in free agency. But I think you got to stop toeing the line. You can't just put your foot in the water. You got to jump in eventually. So yeah, I think if this doesn't work out, stop delaying the inevitable, because I mean, again, if you're not going to, make the playoffs or even contend, you know, with Colorado while they're dominant, mm-hmm. rebuild your team. So, you know, it's that typical cycle and phase in sports where you're good for a while. Or us being Chicago people, we just saw that, you know, we see the difference with the baseball teams right now, but mm-hmm. the Cubs and the White Sox, one flower yeah. died and the other one just finally did like a full blossom. So.
Yeah, it's tough for sure. But also it's kind of proven in this league that you actually can rebuild and be competitive pretty quickly. I think Colorado was a great example of that, how they were one of the worst teams in history. And then the next season they made the playoffs. So if you do it right, you actually can put yourself in a good position. But that's another question mark too with Blackhawks management. Can they actually do that?
Yeah, true. But we will see. But like I said, at least we're going to have a fun team to watch this year, an interesting team. It's not going to be like the last few years where I think we're like, oh, okay, yay, Blackhawks are back.
Yeah, exactly. I think we all felt that way watching them. We're like, oh, yay, Blackhawks game tonight. I'm so excited.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I felt. But Brooke, as usual, thank you so much for coming on. I'm glad we could finally have a more positive discussion. I will probably bug you again, you know, when the season starts, and maybe we could talk about some Hall of Fame goaltending. And, you know, Tyler Johnson scored 10 goals in his first 20 games. I mean, we could be that optimistic, right?
Yes, I think we'll actually have a lot of fun things to discuss during this year, which is exciting.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you again. And of course, you know, everyone listening, be sure to check out the great work at the Hockey Writers, everything Brooke does, and also with her counterparts with the podcast and everything. It's always entertaining. I like to check it out as well, too. So, and thank you all for listening. A lot of great content coming up. Don't worry, I'm going to be getting to this baseball stuff with the White Sox and the Cubs eventually. Got a couple of interesting things planned for football season. Some really good interviews with some really good people coming up. I just got to figure out when they're available. The lovely struggle of scheduling people. But yeah, there's a lot of great stuff coming up now that football's back. We have, you know, trade deadline stuff for baseball. So lots coming up. So keep staying tuned to Windy City Sports Talk, and we'll see you on the next one.
Thanks for listening to Windy City Sports Talk. To find more great episodes, be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast on Anchor.fm, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Breaker, Pocket Casts, Overcast, and Radio Public. Thanks again for listening, and be well.